Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming. This is the second meeting of the Asset Inclusion Group. And we still have quite a little bit of work to do, this group. I guess the first thing I would ask is, did we get through the discussion on the listing of assets, what, generally speaking, what assets we thought should be in and what assets we thought should be out? The notes on that were included in the big packet of notes that was sent out with answers to all the questions. And here, I'll just kind of read through. There's just five or six bullet points. Basically, the conclusions we came to the last time about which assets are in or out. Assets required to deliver water to members' master meters should be transferred to the regional authority. All source water and treatment facilities of all members transferred to the regional authority without discussion of timing yet, I guess. Transmission assets defined as core network would be transferred to the regional authority, the understanding that that could change a little bit depending on what the decision is about delivering water to the membership from Altoona or West Des Moines or even Polk City. Storage and pumping facilities that serve current wholesale customers would transfer. I did get a couple comments back on that already that needs to be more specific, who's wholesale customers, maybe even list specifically, but the discussion was facilities like LP Moon, Polk County Pumping Station, some of the larger metro regional facilities, not pumping stations within individual members' distribution systems. So we'll formalize that one a little more. Storage and pumping facilities that serve primarily Des Moines retail or total service customers would remain Waterworks assets, other than a percentage of the O&M costs for these storage facilities equal to an agreed upon percentage of use by the regional authority would be billed by DMWW to the regional authority on an annual basis. And that was that discussion about, well, should those be regional assets? The regional system won't work without them. And that was what we settled on, that verbiage, at least as far as what we would put in the initial recommendation. And then the last bullet is ASR facilities that deliver water to the core network would transfer to the regional authority with the possibility that all existing ASR facilities would transfer depending on the regional rate structure. Point being that if there isn't any more purchase capacity and you're not trying to avoid exceeding purchase capacity,
right.
suddenly Ankeny is just paying extra money for ASR recovery where it might be more benefit to the region as a whole to shave peaking if you're not getting any benefit. So that sort of is dependent on the rate structure going forward. So a couple of things to be determined there. Any other comments about where we were at the last meeting?
Not about the bullet points, but something else that we discussed after the fact was the current listing of assets still needs some work.
It does. I would agree with that. And I brought some copies of that document, but I might propose, instead of working on that today, that maybe we take a stab at editing it and sending it around and getting everyone's sort of concurrence on the listing and how it should be updated. And then we can include that. Does that make sense? I think it might take us a while to beat that up. It's the only reason I want to kind of get to the questions. Or maybe we could do it at the end if we get through.
No, I think it's something we can do independently.
Yeah, it definitely needs work, though. I agree with you there. Any other thoughts on where we we are now before we move into the next question. Hearing none, let's look at the second question on the asset inclusion group. Separating non-utility property from water production assets. And this is the case where there are some of our water production assets that exist in parks or other areas that are not necessarily part of the production asset. And the question is just how will those assets be transferred to the regional entity without the park being transferred? I suppose part of the question could be if the park needs to not be transferred. I think in the case of Des Moines, I'll just offer that it's a strong preference that the real estate, the parks, not be transferred to the region. It's just the water production source treatment transmission facilities without the property, which I really don't think is a big problem.
Can they lease the area that the facility sits on, just lease the property to?
I think they can lease, or I think they could also, it could be done just by easement. Where, or could it be done by use and benefit?
Sounds like a question for a lawyer.
Well, so Jim, I'm trying to remember exactly how we got where the WRA is sitting on our ground at the treatment plant now.
It doesn't say anything about, it's just the buildings.
Well, and then they've got the storage, the 30 million gallon up above, but I don't remember exactly, but I mean, we have that situation now because the WRA kind of maintains all of that stuff since we got rid of our plant. But we still own all the ground and basically majority of the buildings that we had.
Well, we mow it.
Right.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
We have the same issue with the radial collector wells at the Sailorville Water Treatment Plant. They're on core property. You know, we own the building. It's for our use and benefit. They own the property. There's no question. You know, they didn't sell us that property.
And I'd still be, it's not just parks usage in the park land or whatever. Our facility is going to be hard-pressed at how much you keep, how you do that, because we use it for distribution. And
right,
all your regular meter services, everything else, meter shops there, all of that stuff. And
Is it fair to say that we agree that the real estate doesn't need to transfer as long as there's use and benefit of the
language,
footprint or the, I think we need to talk about.
What would happen if you needed to physically expand? I mean, you'd want to. I think you'd want to be careful in
how the language is said.
Yeah, to make sure that if you needed to physically expand something, that you're not negotiating some drawn out. You know, that it's maybe larger than just the area that it sits on today, perhaps.
Or could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be that. Anybody wants to have the park transfer over to the regional entity that I'm aware of. It's, you know, we just need to figure out.
Ted, what kind of agreement do you have with the park board with regard to maintenance of the grounds and of that kind of thing?
At the Fluor Drive treatment plant.
Yes.
You know, we don't have any agreement with the park board. We do it all. You know, the Waterworks Park Foundation is sort of a future thing. They're making some improvements and they're gonna fund those. But I think that clouds the issue. Right now, Des Moines Waterworks maintains all the grounds, keeps it mowed. You know, does all the maintenance on the ponds and the pumping station that fills the ponds and all that. And I think that maintenance will become part of the regional responsibility, but the ownership of the property, I think, would stay with, you know, right now our property is owned by the city of Des Moines for the use and benefit of Des Moines Waterworks, or the Board of Waterworks Trustees. I think it will be something similar.
That'd be difficult.
You know, Ted, I don't know exactly how and what all you guys maintain there, but it would seem that there's areas that would not be necessarily beneficial to the region that perhaps Des Moines Waterworks would continue to maintain and not be a part of the regional responsibility to maintain. And I would think that that could be separated pretty simply.
Yeah, perhaps there are some things that are clearly, like we do the maintenance of the flower medians on Fluor Drive.
Beautification would have to be out.
but the park, right now, I can tell you that the park is part of the source water protection for the gallery, and all park maintenance, I'm sure, is in cost of service included in everyone's cost. It's a water production, water supply infrastructure thing. So it might be less than you think that would be excluded from our perspective, or from a historic perspective. Let me just put it that way.
Now, so that would be mowing and water resource type issues. Right. Looking forward at this park master plan, it becomes a regional park amenity with a great deal more maintenance and features that wouldn't be water related.
Right.
And I think that's something we've discussed with your crew before. As the park expands and those features come into play, how those would be separated out. And I think that's a valid issue that needs to be addressed.
I think so. And even from a Des Moines Waterworks perspective, we've made it very clear to the foundation that rates are not going to pay for the upkeep of that. So we have an agreement with the Park Foundation that they'll be funding all operation and maintenance.
You're not going to put part of the rates hiring Keith Urban.
No.
Or maintaining the zip line.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that we need to be careful about.
Urban's off the trail. Maintains the trail since it goes even further west outside of the park property.
We clean the trail, you know, like after flooding.
To a point.
Yeah. Anything within Waterworks Park, we clean, or the Des Moines Waterworks staff cleans. Anything beyond that, though, the city owns the trails, so they do repairs, structural repairs, if it would wash out or need to be resurfaced, but we clean it.
Okay.
And that's all part of our...
What about the Arboretum and all the park area out of Moffitt?
Yeah, same thing, all source water, Dale. You know, it's the reservoir is a source, and I'm confident that all of that is maintained as part of the source water costs.
The restrooms and all that's out there?
Yes.
See, and for West Des Moines and West Des Moines Waterworks, the city... most of our alluvial wells are within a city park, but the park department takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I think that is how there should be some uniformity in how that's dealt with. Because we could easily roll the cost of park maintenance for Raccoon River Park and the restroom facilities and the mowing and the taking care of the plants. We could
plans.
Yeah, that could be, you know, that could be a regional water production cost because we get our source water there.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be delineated and uniform.
But, you know, who's going to take care of Moffitt, the restrooms of Moffitt? I mean, it's not in a city. I guess maybe West Des Moines was the closest city. They could take care of them.
If it comes with ownership, Ted, gladly.
You know, the challenge that we have is that Waterworks owns these properties, and they own them for water supply. They're not city parks, and they're not likely to become city parks. You know, I don't think, you know, there's one restroom at Moffitt. So out of the total of all the mowing and upkeep and maintenance and everything we do out there.
That's so that the groundskeepers can do the number one and two out there.
It's a pretty small potato.
Yeah.
No, but the map is small, but the Des Moines Waterworks Park, the Waterworks Park is a bigger issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But I think, and we can talk about that. Well, might as well talk about it now.
But I think they could be handled in different ways. I mean, look at the facility and how the best way to handle that one is.
And I think the amenities, this amphitheater that's being built, and the restroom and the plaza and all that stuff, it's very clear right now that that's intended to be self-sufficient. And the foundation, we have an agreement with them. They're going to pay us not only O&M, but depreciation on all those facilities. And so that's pretty clearly separate. The mowing and upkeep of the roads and all that other stuff is all part of having the gallery there and having the source there. All the ponds are all related to the gallery. You know, we might be able to pick and choose, well, there's a shelter there, and is that really part of the region? Maybe not. We can you know, cover the maintenance on the shelter, which is
easy to ferret that out from a cost.
Cover that through your distribution side.
Yeah.
I think another tricky element that you kind of mentioned that you're going to have with Des Moines, and I don't think it's the case with the other production assets, I'm guessing, is Des Moines charges you a pilot for services, and they do the same to the WRA, and I've always had a heartburn with that personally. And I'm pretty sure that West Des Moines doesn't charge West Des Moines Waterworks a pilot. Urbandale doesn't charge Urbandale Waterworks a pilot. Altoona doesn't charge Altoona.
We don't charge ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't have a water.
So in the bigger scheme of things, I know that's not really the focus of this question. That's going to be a bigger financial question that needs to be answered, because I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of support if Des Moines has the ability to charge a pilot to Des Moines Waterworks, and we're paying for that, and we're not doing the same for the other production assets. That's going to be a big problem. So, and I don't know how, I think it's a pretty substantial number if I had to guess.
Yeah.
If I know the WRA number, I'm guessing your number is probably not that far different, and the WRA number is pretty massive.
It's about $1 million annually. Yeah. But it's also, it's $1 million in cash, roughly. And then it's also all this other negotiated stuff. You know,
the flowers
we maintain, the trails we maintain.
But there's a public safety number in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That goes to public safety, just like WRA.
Is, you know, police and
just
fire.
Just like the airport does.
For all of our facilities and assets around the city.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring that up is there's no other city in the metro that does that to its utility.
Yeah.
To its water utility. We don't do that to our water utility from a distribution standpoint. So there's going to be some apples and oranges that are going to need to get ferreted out between those two things. That is probably not going to be an easy conversation.
Yeah, and I'm that is distributed currently.
Yeah, we're paying for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so
there's no mistake.
The wholesale customers and everybody's paying for that pilot. Portion of that
pilot. It's part of the production cost.
Just like we are at the WRA. We're doing the same at the WRA.
Right. So let's circle back here to just the separation. I think everyone is comfortable with the real estate not being part of the transfer, with the understanding that there has to be some provision for expanding the footprint of the facilities. And we can, I think, do that through agreement. You know, will not be unreasonably withheld or, you know,
right.
Something like that. And some consideration for pieces that are not production related, source, treatment, transmission related. And I can't begin to sit here right now and identify what all those pieces might be, but.
So you're talking about inside the buildings, of production buildings, you know, like.
You know.
We have our meter shops in there, we have some storage equipment, wash bays. things like that that are not associated with production.
That's all distribution.
But it's all in the same building.
Yeah, I think that's all part of what we're talking about, is how do we separate all of that?
Offices.
You know, we pretty much have been multiple buildings for each function, but some of the functions overlap, fleet, you know, how do you separate their efforts? Fab, I think all of that is going to be...
Right now we're running stormwater program out of the water plant even, and that'll change.
But realistically, yeah. It could be locked off. The only access you would have would be to the water facility, water treatment plant.
And we'd still have storage.
And you know, they could just lock. We could just change the door so they locked or whatever, so people couldn't get in there. I mean, it's possible to do.
It becomes more difficult.
The way you're set up. Yeah. Well, our other plants are, you know, they would just basically take over the whole facility.
But the one other major one.
But plant three, it could be handled so that they didn't, that you limited the access to certain parts. Wouldn't be impossible.
It's far lesser challenge than what you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I envision this being less of a map and more of an agreement or an understanding that the production facilities, the labor, the chemicals, whatever it takes to produce the water and transmit it will be the responsibility of the region. And you know, I don't see you guys putting up walls in your building so that we know when you paint that room or whatever. And maybe it becomes more of a price that the region is willing to pay per million gallons or something, you know, as opposed to specifically which doorknob they're responsible for in the building.
Yeah, you know, if you're doing maintenance on the building, who's responsible for that? You know, well, this is over the part that it's not production, and you know, you're going to have to come up with a...
Well, I mean, with the Des Moines Water Works perspective, I'm not sure it's... I mean, you have the pump station, you have your lab, you have... and then from the distribution side, you have your operations center there that is pretty much strictly distribution. We could specify, just like Ted said, in that it's based on a description. However, you know, at the same time, you can't separate the lab because they obviously have to take their own routine samples, have to collect those. So maybe the region takes that on as a whole, and just as Des Moines Water Works we pay Des Moines Water Works to do some routine maintenance on our pump stations, perhaps Des Moines Water Works pays for the use of that if the region takes that whole entity, for instance, the lab over, maybe they begin to pay for the, just as we pay for our lab samples when we bring them down.
Yeah, Des Moines Water Works pays for distribution samples, you mean?
Right. And then the region takes that asset over as a whole, and everybody's treated the same as you bring whatever work needs to be done into it. It's charged back to that entity.
Right.
Probably warm.
I think that could work.
Here, I'm thirsty. That was from our EOC late Saturday night.
early Sunday morning.
I think, just very generally speaking, we're considering that the real estate doesn't transfer. Let's talk a minute about things like the gallery. I think it's clear that, you know, the gallery winds through all of Waterworks Park. There are ponds that are an essential part of the gallery system. From my perspective, the structure itself would transfer the use and benefit of the lands around the area where the water is collected, the ponds. The use and benefit of all that transfers, but the real estate, you know, we're not going to, I would not imagine us to identify a strip of real estate. How wide is it? I mean, it collects from probably areas outside of Waterworks Park. So I guess I'm proposing facilities, not real estate in all these cases. Same with reservoir, Maffitt Reservoir. The real estate would not transfer, but the use and benefit would need to transfer. That's the same arrangement we have with the Corps of Engineers for Sailorville. We don't own Sailorville. Des Moines Waterworks does not own any part of Sailorville, but we have use and benefit of a certain amount of storage capacity within Sailorville, which gives us the ability to ask for releases at certain times and certain amounts. I'm seeing that kind of arrangement here rather than the reservoir transfers to the region.
I agree with that. If I understand correctly, each entity that currently has land held for their benefit would transfer that benefit over to the region, and then allocation permits could transfer to the region after that. I mean, that would be the course of action. And that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. That's the vision.
I don't know how it's legal. Yeah. Well,
we'll find out.
that's above our pay grade.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That conceptually, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay. Does that get us through the second question? This says to identify assets that are located on land that serves a non-utility purpose. I think we're kind of going beyond that and just saying real estate doesn't transfer. It doesn't matter if it's on land mm-hmm. that serves a non-utility purpose or not. Real estate stays. Does everybody agree with that? Let's talk about it in terms of the LP Moon pumping station. There's no non-utility purpose there. It's not a park, it's not open to the public, but I guess what this is saying is that the real estate doesn't transfer, just the facilities and the use and benefit of those facilities. I don't know that we want to start trying to pick that apart, which ones do and which ones don't.
Yeah, because our regional contention is on our side, to the north, right?
Right.
You guys are just, your property is just the small.
Yeah, our property is inside the fence, and then we have the driveway, that's it.
Yeah.
Although in our, I know that you're talking about the WRA, I know at our sewer plant, when it was abandoned, that the deed to the land was transferred to the WRA, and I think the building perhaps remained with the city of Urbandale, but the deed to the property for the sewer plant went to WRA in that transfer.
We own
the basin.
Do you have, you're talking about the detention basin?
Yes.
Equalization basin?
Yeah, I think you're mm-hmm. equalization basin.
I think that's what we're talking about here. That's just part of the system. Yeah.
their system.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would see that those Louise Moon, Polk County, some of those that are really totally, not to cloud the issue, but totally easily defined and strictly are for the use of the region, that perhaps those could transfer.
So how are you going to define what transfers and what doesn't?
Well, like you said, everything at that site is totally regional.
Case by case.
Yeah, so it's just a point. I'm not stating that we should, but it would seem that those assets could be transferred fairly easily. Because in the future, we're going to have other assets in which we are going to buy under the regional authority, and they will become entitled to the regional authority.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess I have to agree with that thought, too. If it's in a public park or something like that, but if it's just totally production, those assets can be transferred pretty easy.
Including the real estate.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, isn't it going to depend on the type of production?
Well, it might not be production.
If you got
LP Moon, there's no production there.
But if you had regional and they went for another place and they ended up doing galleries or so on and so forth, they're going to have a bigger area, and then it's going to be maybe considered part of a park setting again. Don't know.
Well, I would say in the future that if we build a treatment plant, for instance, if Urbandale would develop, regional would develop the land proposed by Urbandale, that entire quarries and the entire land in which the plant sits on and the sludge lagoons, ponds, all of those will become a regional asset. Whether it becomes a park in the city of Johnston, it would be, in my opinion, it would be a regional authority asset that may have an agreement with the city of Johnston to use it as a park.
Yeah. Right.
But you're not unwinding a clock at that time.
I mean, that's how I would foresee it. I mean, if we're truly going to become regional, why wouldn't we do that? I mean, it's not any different than what Des Moines Waterworks has done. Went out into Clive, bought the ground and area for Louise Moon, and it is now owned by Des Moines Waterworks Board of Trustees. And so why would this be any different?
Well, because, you know, one reason is that we're talking future versus historic.
Yeah.
So we're gonna. I got to think through that a little bit, Dale. I guess. And I would have to look at the list and see if there are any. If it gets more complicated. But I personally know the concept.
Yeah, those areas that are convoluted with multiple operations and tasks coming out of those obviously are different than those are that are strictly for the production of the and use of the regional. I can certainly see the difference.
So
you'd almost need the regional authority would almost have to basically buy Waterworks Park and then have an agreement back with the city of Des Moines for park usage. But that would be...
No, I'm not advocating that. That's what I meant. Those like West Des Moines plant, Des Moines plant, Altoona's plant that are dual purpose use, that you can't separate those out. I think there has to be, it remains with the entity that owns them, and then somehow we divide that responsibility and use up. But those facilities that are strictly, and we're only talking about pump stations or perhaps joint use towers or whatever, but that are strictly under and used only by the, for the purpose of meeting the supply of the region.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I'll note it. And then we can look at the list and see what facilities might fit into that group.
Hey, you might want to break up that asset list now for those ones that have that kind of gray area versus the ones that are very defined as utility only.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you go through that list, let me...
Okay. Any other thoughts on that separation of property from facilities? The third question on the list is the timing of inclusion. Says in the MOU, there's a proposal to allow some owners of water production assets to include the assets in the authority over a staggered time frame of up to 10 years. The question to be answered is whether such a delay is acceptable from an operation or for operational reasons.
I guess the question that I had, and maybe I just missed something or didn't understand it, what was the reasoning for the delay in the first place?
I'll answer for West Des Moines Water Works, but Vern will have mm-hmm. to take Altoona's. Our production rate is substantially lower than what we can buy for purchase capacity, and it would be, based on information to date, exceptionally lower than what we would buy from the region. And because our customer base has cash flowed a number of improvements to maintain and sustain our operations, we think it's fair to our ratepayers to enjoy the benefit of that for an extended period of time.
Makes sense. Same.
Okay.
Same.
Yeah, okay. We got, well, it was what he put together so far shows our mm-hmm. rates are way low yeah. compared to what they would
right.
be. We would be doing, I can't imagine, well, we're sitting down around $2 and we'd be buying for $4 or $6 or more.
Yeah.
That's quite a jump.
Yeah.
To the ratepayers.
Right, especially when our ratepayers have paid the cost of the production to date. It's just an enjoyment of the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. In our, I can't remember exactly in yours, in our case, I mean, it goes at least through purchase capacity period, if not longer, before we would start having to step up. But the question here is 10 years as opposed to 20 or...
Yeah,
And I think the question here is not related to rates or costs mm-hmm. or savings.
Operational.
It's operational.
Are there operational
reasons why they have to be delayed? You know, it's... This question is about operations. You know, your concerns are about rates. And I'm not aware of any operational reason why we can't bring all the assets in at the same time.
We had, and I don't know that there's anything glaring that would prevent it from an operational standpoint. What we had talked about before is that by staggering the inclusion, we would allow the region to stabilize operationally before adding all of the assets into the pot and mixing, kind of have a more staged approach.
Well,
had some benefits to it, and you know the assets that are currently producing regionally would be, you know, mm-hmm. in the mix, and then the region would support that, and then at some point in the future when we were confident that we know that that operational contract is working effectively, after a stabilization period, then other assets could be included. So it's there's probably not an operational reason why it can't be done, but I think there's benefits to staggering the inclusion over time.
And I don't think, I don't know operationally, there's more to it, because when we start shuffling and pushing out more, there's a difference in the water.
Yeah, the water quality.
Not saying one's better than the other, it's just how it's set up and pH and all the, you know.
And And if there's blending or mixing zones, that's something DNR would want to be involved in to make sure that there's not an issue with water chemistry.
What you're describing is the region getting on its feet, to me, is what we already do today and have been doing for a long time. So
there, but and that's a fine point, but it would still be a significant change to go from the way it operates today to how it would operate as a region under an operating contract with a different board governing. There's going to be a lot of changes on day one. May not be where the water is pushed to, where it's pushed, you know, from, but it's going to be a lot of change.
But answering the question, you can answer the question from an operational standpoint and just note that the concerns are more financial than they are operational, if that reflects the opinions of everybody here. You know, that, yeah, you can do that, but there's, you know, there's concerns that are interrelated, but they aren't as much operational as they are financial.
Financial and governance, really.
Right.
I agree with that, and what I would propose is that I can take a stab at that, and then you guys can add to that whatever comments you
want.
Yeah,
I mean,
include.
It's important to know that in the long term, when you're running the long game, the regional thing is going to be, should be, turn out to be the best way to do it. But if you're looking at the shorter game in between, that could bring a little financial hardship to us to be in boom right now and not in charge of our own rate.
It's a separate issue, but I don't know that I fully grasp some of the financial. And I know you're predicating some of your concerns based on those differential rates that were shown, at least the preliminary ones, but I don't know that I fully understand what the consultant has done, because they refer to wholesale marginal rates. You know, they're indicating there's more to that story. It's not the whole price. Well, why are we, why are we showing that if, you know, why we got everybody worked up on that one slide, which I think was a mistake personally.
Yeah. Without the other shoe.
Without the other point, and got, you know, we got even sidetracked in that meeting about, well, here we go again. I think we have to get more information on the money, and some of us better understand that, what they mean by that, before we even know.
Oh,
I could be wrong, but
I don't disagree, because, well, you probably picked up onto it that we didn't have a long-range predictor if we were going to stay on our own that showed where we would be doing another expansion, and that cost needs to be figured into that.
Well, it is in there, Bert. It is. There's $15 million in there.
Well, he didn't put it in the...
Yeah. In the rates that in the projection that I gave to them, yeah, there's $15 million in there.
We'll have to sit down with him, because he didn't put it in the deal when he did the slide. He said he didn't have it.
Yeah.
Well, there was a big assumption, and I was there, but I saw the slides. Wasn't there a big assumption that, like, purchase capacity users would jump to full customer rate or something like that, which I don't think is realistic, because we're not going to be, you know, a purchase capacity customer isn't going to be getting the services that a full customer would be getting, because we still have our own distribution and our own billing and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that was a big assumption that I saw in there that, I mean, you looked at ours, ours jumps a ridiculous amount after our purchase capacity contract runs out, and I don't think Des Moines Water Works would treat us that way. I don't think that would be realistic for that negotiation at that point when that contract ran out in 2042.
Oh,
go ahead.
I think his assumption was correct.
I do too.
Because he was not talking about a wholesale customer. He was talking the list storage rate, which is what Johnston pays.
Right.
And so once the point he was making, it would be lower for Johnston, because now all of us are at the same rate that they are. So therefore, everybody's paying the higher rate, and so Johnson's rate would go down. Everybody else's rate would go up.
Yeah.
Purchase capacity goes away.
I agree, Dale.
That was, 2040.
That was the assumption that he made. the purchase capacity would just end.
Oh, it was the with storage, not the full customer rate. Okay.
Yeah. And I think he tried to take what he perceived to be all of the costs and divide them by all of the production that would be needed and come up with a rate.
Right. I just think there's way more sophisticated analysis and that needs to be done. And they tried to explain that night at that broader meeting. Well, this is not, you know, but don't compare apples to oranges. Don't show the communities that they. I mean, if your rate's going to double, you know, you're going to have people walk out of the room. You know, we've got to get to the finish line and then fine tune those numbers.
And I think part of the presentation was making a couple of assumptions of what could happen, that purchase capacity just ends at that date and it's gone and there's no consideration for the people who've been on it for years. That was an assumption they made.
Right.
And that other people would build their plants and they would not use much water from the region and that they would be able to buy water at the same rate as everyone else. I mean, he made some assumptions to build that scenario. Now he's going to look at, okay, if we regionalize, we all work together and we pool our resources, if you will, what will those rates look like?
Right.
And, it feels to me like we have one side of the story based on a lot of assumptions that maybe we would not have made if we were the ones, you know, modeling status quo. But, you know, he made the assumptions he thought were most valid or most likely. I'm anxious to see
this right. Yet, Ted, in our conversations here, all of us have been saying that purchase capacity is going to go away. We're assuming that that's no longer going to be the case, and I think he took the same assumption because he's been hearing 40. Different rates. Let's consolidate one rate. You know, I agree that we've heard one side of the story.
Yep.
And he told us that. He said he's going to show the other side and won't have that information until, you know, August sometime. So I think we need to be fair to him. He showed one side. He said, I don't have all the information, but it's coming.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I agree. I don't think it's an invalid assumption, but it's one side.
Right.
So, me liking to do this, Ted, we're back on question three.
I think we're done with question three. Now we're on question four.
What was the conclusion of that? Number three,
I think what David said is where I'm going to go with the summation is just that there is not an operational reason why all the assets can't transfer at the same time, but there may be financial or governance concerns or considerations.
Or operational concerns.
What are the operational concerns?
Well, I don't know if you're like, I think what they were saying is that if you've got all of these changes at once, it doesn't have anything to do with the transfer of the assets. So.
I don't see that as an operational issue because I think what Diana described is the region getting it on its feet is a new board governing exactly what we do today. Or I shouldn't say it that way.
To me, the operational stuff would be the blending of the water and depending on
which wouldn't have anything to do with the asset part of it. Yeah.
But if we introduce those as operational concerns, we've now included piping and pumpage so that independent systems like Altoona and West Des Moines can
flip it around
to the region. So I guess now that I'm thinking about it a little deeper, if we continue serving just our independent communities, I agree that there's no operational issue. If the point is that on day one, West Des Moines can feed the region, Altoona can feed the region, Xenia can feed the region, if that's one of the systems in consideration, which I don't think it is, actually, then it does become an operational issue.
What's the likelihood of that happening, though, that you have excess capacity that you can feed the region?
Good morning, time.
Probably more
why,
for her.
Why isn't probably not good when the region needs it? So then, why isn't the timing of inclusion? Why does that become a sticking point? This goes back to an argument that West Des Moines Water made from the inception of this conversation: is we can't feed the region really when the region needs us to feed it. So that was our argument for why our why our area is being.
But you could feed part of the region under an emergency situation.
Well, part of that region would be West Des Moines, is what she's saying.
And maybe a small part of it, but after
they already did it when in the plane when they had the water main issue. So that, it's been done on a daily basis. Is that going to happen from day one? Probably not. But the opportunity is there to do that, and that's why it's a regional utility. But from an operational standpoint, I don't think anything's going to change day one other than your operators are going to be operating under contract with the regional operators. You're not going to change your staff. It's just who's paying their salary and who do they get take directions from. Operationally, there shouldn't be much change on day one. In fact, there might be some benefits. I heard a comment at one of the previous meetings that there's issues with weekend coverage and night coverage. You become a regional utility, now you can spread that work around to other people that are already working weekends and evenings, so maybe you don't have to hire a new staff if somebody resigns or leaves for other employment.
I also think that one of the potential benefits of regionalization and one of the ways we might be able to save money is during non-peak times, using more water from the plants that have lower production cost and delivering it to broader areas, which gets into the, you know, DNR issues you talked about and the water quality differences, blending. But I think that that's one of the most likely ways we can save money. Now, on a peak day, no, you can't. We can't do that.
You got to have
everything. You guys are, those plants are providing what they provide, but on the non-peak days, which is a lot of the year, there's a lot of opportunity for savings, and that's one of my issues with delay is, you know, if we delay, then what's the opportunity for savings? Why do it until we're ready?
So I guess it goes back in my mind to the financial and managerial or governance issue. And I'll go back to something Mayor Gare stated at last Wednesday's meeting, where if you can make communities that would enjoy a lower rate whole by lowering their regional rate, then maybe this goes away. So if West Des Moines and Altoona can produce for a cheaper rate, how do you make those communities whole in their regional rate so that they would have the same benefit? I mean, that's what it comes down to for me. I guess I can make all other operational arguments, but that, when the rubber meets the road, that's what I'm concerned about.
And I get that completely. I absolutely do. It's not an operational issue, though, to me.
Correct. And
that's the question.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we can, I can probably try to make issues to support what is truly just a financial issue.
Yeah.
So that.
I get that one. I would argue that, but from an operational perspective, I think if anything, there's potential financial benefit for the region from having that flexibility on day one.
Right. Which everybody would benefit from. So if you, so if you're producing the cheaper water in the months where, you know, in the non-summer months, it just brings all those rates down. And we, I don't, that hasn't been looked at in the analysis at all.
I think that's what Jason's going to do in this next step, though. I mean, that's he just about has to.
And that could really make an impact because the cost differences between, obviously, RO and some of the other plants, there's got to be double-digit percentage differences, I would think.
Yeah, the additional production on top of average day that West Des Moines could supply the region probably isn't going to make a tremendous dent in the rates. And the higher cost of production at Sailorville is not something that we could, I mean, we're not pumping water in that general direction.
No.
So, but it wouldn't hurt. It doesn't hurt the calculation.
Well, I'm still proposing that I'm going to write it up as there's not an operational reason, but there are financial and governance, potentially financial and governance concerns. I'll send it out to this group. You guys can feel free to critique, edit, however you think is appropriate.
And we will agree to disagree or not.
Well, I'd hope that we could all come up with
we'll
a statement that we can at least agree with.
No, I agree with Diane. I mean, operational, it wouldn't be as difficult, but the financial is going to be a real first of all,
get that
for this real production rate to double or triple for us. That would be.
But I just think you got scared by numbers that aren't going to be that different in the end. I hope.
But if we look at our production costs today versus our purchase capacity, if we produce what we are able to produce, our production unit rate is lower than purchase
than
capacity.
Purchase capacity.
So there's a difference today.
Right.
So I think we'd see that extend out as well.
Okay.
Can we move on to question number 4 about the timing of payment for included assets and reserve capacity. So basically, the authority is intended to essentially purchase this unsubscribed capacity or capacity above our maximum day. So the MOU proposes the authority may take up to 5 years to pay owners, since it may take that long for the authority to have sufficient financial capacity to do so. The question for the committee is whether there is a need to coordinate the timing of the assets and the timing of the payment for reserve capacity to occur all at the same time.
In other words, if it's going to take 5 years before they're going to pay for the assets, why include them right away?
I think I would frame it a little differently. Assuming they come in at year X, do we have to pay for them at year X, or can we pay for them at years X through X plus 5?
Or an easy payment plan,
or
it's taken care of in the rates. Like
right.
we talk, way to make things whole. It includes you guys big time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think our perspective is upfront payment is always preferred, but we realize that the region may not be able to do that. We would have to have tens of millions of dollars in all likelihood. So if it needs to be a rate credit or annual payments or whatever, as long as it's adjusted accordingly for the length of time, I think we can be open-minded. But I guess I'm interested in if what anybody thinks, is there some sort of financial law, rule, reason why it should be one way or the other, or do you folks have other thoughts on
if you're gonna include it right away and then you're gonna worry about paying for it, does, for instance, you financed, you didn't have money in the bank to do your expansion, did you?
We cash flowed a lot of it. The only thing we took out debt for was SRF for the deep well.
I was going to say, if you had a lot of outstanding debt, then that inclusion might include helping to pay that debt off instead of cash money to them. They'd assume the debt. But
For some of us, too, that have too much purchase capacity than they need, there's going to be a reserve capacity we're going to have.
Yeah,
right. And, and we may use that to buy down our rate if our rate's going up.
Yeah.
To justify us being included in the regional authority, or we use it to pay off infrastructure ahead of time or whatever, but we would have to make that choice. I know there's not too many people in our scenario, we get that, but as most are looking for more than the purchase capacity they have today, and how that transfers, you might have some of that reserve capacity is at a different rate than what maybe your reserve capacity may be. That's something that you have to figure out too, is are they all treated equal in terms of the MGD price?
That wasn't a question on the list, was it? Any of the questions we asked, is an MGD an MGD? I know that's come up, but We haven't beat it up, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, we paid it at a certain MGD rate back however long ago that was, and we issued our debt that we're about paid off on for our purchase capacity, and what your reserve capacity of your plant isn't been, you know, identified, right, out of what's the value of it from an MGD standpoint.
No.
Ours isn't, it's in a contract. I mean, you can look at it and say there's the value of it, but how is that appreciated also since the contract's been signed in terms of the cost of that MGD if you're trying to replace it today?
Yeah, part of that payment, it's got to include, figured out, like I said, for debt service that we already have or whatever. We're not totally paid off.
Yeah, that the purchase capacity MGD though was based on the cost of building treatment facilities.
Oh yeah.
So in my opinion, it would be viewed as the same because we built infrastructure for treatment that was to produce that MGD at that cost. So whether it was at the treatment, it did build Sailorville and Moffitt. And so it's the same as treatment MGD.
It's been my assumption that all the reserve capacity would have the same value. Be it purchase capacity or capacity in Altoona or West Des Moines or Des Moines or Polk City.
I think the only differential that I see would be if we include ASR, then there could be an argument for differentiating capacity rate. If you do not include ASR, everything was constructed as dollars for constructing treatment facilities.
Is it safe to assume that members who don't have reserve capacity are going to be affected just through the unified rate rather than having to come up with cash to begin with?
Buy-in.
I guess maybe
there was
Johnston
talk of that.
Was the outlier, but because to me
personally.
Go ahead, Dale.
Personally, I don't see us doing that other than what Jody alluded to in the bonding capacity of the new entity may not be there, and that may be a reason for delaying payment, because to me it doesn't make any sense not to just people have argued a long time about having different rates, who's getting the best deal, and all this. If you could simply buy it and pay it out and everybody's at square one, to me, in my opinion, that's the best thing, because even if you bond for it, it comes back to all of us in rates in one way or another. And so whether we give somebody a lower rate and we have West Des Moines a different rate, I see that being a clouded issue that if we could, it would seem that it would be better for the entity to bond for it, adjust the rates accordingly, and everybody square one.
I think we would be happy with that if it was possible. I'll be honest with you guys, I don't feel that I have the financial chops to answer this question because I don't know what the implications are.
I think there's likely going to need to be some flexibility rather than one approach over the other, because it could be very possible that we need to do rate adjustments as opposed to just having the question is, will we have the capacity to go out and borrow the money to pay everybody day one? I don't see that.
I don't either.
I don't see that. So, you know, payment over time, payment at a certain date, rate, you know, some type of rate calculations, I think there's going to have to be flexibility in that. I know it'd be great if everybody had the exact same rate, but that's, you can still have, in my mind, and I may be the only one that thinks this, that you can still have regional utility and have differential rates.
Yeah, I think you're going to have tiered rates for all the different scenarios that we have being included in regional authority. Those with production, those without, those with purchase capacity.
All the debits and the credits, you just may not, from a cash standpoint, be in a position to deal with that with money. You might have to deal with that over a decade or more in some type of rate adjustment, potentially. Or multiple rate adjustments, I don't know.
And the question is those, if you have some kind of discounted rates, is that going to generate enough revenue for the regional utility to still cover the operating contracts for production?
Right.
That's the big financial question. If you go that route and don't do an upfront, you know, bonding, which I agree, I don't think it's going to be very likely for an entity that has zero financial history, unless we all backed it.
Right.
And then it's similar to what was done with the WRA.
Right. And that may be part of this too, is the cities and the, you know, everybody might have to look at some combination of things to get it off the ground.
But ultimately, you'd look to have a rate that was the same, like time X in the future, everybody would be paying the same rate.
Yes.
Over time, yeah.
And I think you'd start with a base rate, and that would be the base, but there could be adjustment to that base rate based on an individual entity's circumstances. This is kind of the way I would see it. Just because the amount of capital up front would be enormous in order to
And that might be kind of go back. That might be why, on the financial side, you may delay some asset inclusions, because the regional entity doesn't have the capacity to even buy the asset yet, like a West Des Moines scenario or an Altoona Urbandale scenario.
Well, I think the region will buy West Des Moines assets first. We'll hold off for like.
Sign that operating contract right away, Diane.
Yeah. We'll be easy to work with, like always.
She'll leave it on Jody.
Yeah.
Jody can
give us 6 months same as cash.
Yeah. A lot of your comments with regard to variable rates are very valid, and having heard you say that, you're probably right. There is a base rate, because we haven't even touched on how do we handle future cost of capital improvements. Is that simply a cash buy-in by the entity that needs it, or is that funded through the region that says your rate will be adjusted by whatever to meet that, and you're billed at a different rate? So your points are pretty valid from my perspective.
Well, how about if we answer this question by simply saying that this group feels it's unlikely that the region is going to be in a position to make an upfront cash payment for all of the reserve capacity. And I think that's one pretty safe statement. There will likely need to be some flexibility in terms of how the reserve capacity is paid for. It seems likely that there will be some sort of a rate consideration with a base rate and then adders or deductors based on where you are in the process. And then I guess I want to reserve the opportunity to run this past Peggy and whoever else we all want to include from a more purely financial perspective. And I don't even want to say that extinguishing that debt over 10 years or 5 years or 20 years is okay. I just don't know what the implications of that are for us, but I can put some pretty general things in there, but I do think that's more the financial question that I can answer.
Because I think at some point, I know PFM works for a lot of us in this room too,
right?
I think there's going to be some kind of financial model that will have to be put together to see that we'll just need for decision making.
Something does
at some point.
See if we agree with what he said.
Right. What, you know, there's gonna have to be some verification with whatever Jason comes up with anyway at some point to see are those numbers real based on all of our cash flows. You have Peggy, and most of the rest of us have PFM. But so at least there's not too many entities or people.
Not many variables
to put together to hash this out, and how do we do that with PFM? I mean, PFM will probably do it for us as part of our services with our cash flows, but there might be some additional work there that we'll want to get compensated.
Or we just do a joint agreement, and I'll take our share of the cost. I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah,
because we use PFM, so
could be good validation, review, whatever.
Does anybody not use them for their cash flows outside of Des Moines?
We don't use them.
You guys don't use them.
They're actually doing a model for us right now to compare.
Oh, they are.
I'm ready. Financial wizard.
We haven't gone that far yet. I haven't asked them.
Well, we gotta get this thing a little
further
refined before I think we bring them in for the regional thing.
Individual. But I think that might be a scenario we talk about, is bringing those financial advisors and professionals together to see what scenarios even make sense. And I know Jason's doing some of that.
Right.
Already. Trust but verify.
One thing that was mentioned before, and I won't belabor the point, but I'm not solid on every gallon of reserve capacity being equal. I think my opinion would be dependent on timing of inclusion of assets and other things. So throw that out there until some of these things are settled.
Understood. And we weren't asked to answer that question.
It's bizarre because it's a really big question.
Yeah, I might reach out to Jason and just say, you know, this came up. It wasn't on the list anywhere. I don't know. He'll say, well, answer it.
But
I can understand that if your production costs are a lot lower and your reserve capacity, the value that MGD value is lower than it would be from anything from Des Moines Waterworks.
Well, and it also...
I can understand that.
Yeah. Goes into also rehab and improvements for capacity and how much each production facility has on their capital improvements plan. And, but absolutely.
That's an interesting question that I think I can provide a really emotional response, but I will.
Oh, don't cry yet.
You know, don't worry about that. But I think that,
I know,
you know, we could start getting into, is the capacity at Sailorville worth more than the capacity at McMullen? And we want all of our reserve capacity to be counted at McMullen. And
how do you,
you know, it's regional, you know. And I understand the point, but that MGD is not going to sell for anymore. It might cost less to produce, but we're a region, you know.
And I can see on an entity basis, like all of Des Moines' assets that they're bringing into the region being kind of combined into one. My issue is partially that, but it's partially, an MGD is an MGD, but how many dollars are we going to, as a region, have to invest in those facilities to maintain that capacity in the future? If we take a look at, you know, a 10-year span of time, how much money will Fluor cost the region to maintain a 75 MGD capacity? How does that compare to an Altoona or a West Des Moines who may not have those investments to continue the same output? I think that is, I guess, a part of my concern.
Yeah.
My unemotional response. But I take your point, but that's, I guess, one of my concerns.
I guess from my perspective is I have a tendency to agree with Ted in that a gallon is a gallon of water.
Can you shut him off?
I heard you heard.
Just kidding.
Dale, that's what you get.
I understand.
What do you say? You're breaking up.
It's a comment I would have made if I was in your shoes. A gallon is a gallon of water. My differentiating issue that I think that I would side with Diane and Vern perhaps
is there, if we make a differentiating time period that says, hey, there's a valid point from Altoona and from West Des Moines that says we can produce water at a cheaper rate, is there a validation to saying the rate should be adjusted for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever number we pick? I think there's a validation to that. If you go in and try to argue the issue that this piece of infrastructure was built in 1900, or this one was built in 2015, and that's a can of worms that we don't want to go into. I think GPM cost to produce and we sell it for the same price has to be the same. If we give some validation to the issue of lower cost production of water, that there's a credit for that, then that's possibly an option.
I said I'm reserving my ultimate opinion until we know more of the details on timing of inclusion and adjusted rates and the sort. So I guess see how that all works out.
I think you'd have to do that, otherwise why would Altoona and West Des Moines even consider it? I mean,
right.
If I was in your shoes, why would you even consider it unless there was some consideration like that?
I'll touch base with Jason on that specific question. Just just so he can tell me we should have answered that question. Anything else on this list today?
You're going to hand those, you're going to do something with that asset list and send it out to us again.
I'm just going to send it out and ask you to beat it up a little bit. I mean, I've been through it, and I think we've all been through it before.
That's
and
right. The changes haven't been made.
The changes have never been made in terms of what's in and what's out, and I think that we have a pretty good model here now to help us understand what's in and what's out.
You might want to, I think from based on the discussion, you might want to add the additional category of truly completely utility versus kind of that historic gray area of the, you know, waterworks and
some of these things are the facilities that the based on what Dale recommended or suggested that the real estate would also be included.
Yeah.
And most of them are not, but I think we can make that distinction as we go through the list.
I think it might help.
Yeah. You know what I'll do is I might include the list, and then I might include an edited list that I think identifies all the things that we all already agree with as maybe a little easier place to start, but I'll include the, well, Jason sent this all out to all of us, but I'll include that, I'll include an edited list, and then you can comment on that. And then I'm just gonna go ahead and add to this document just sort of our bullet points. Mm-hmm. Intended to be very general. You know, I'm not trying to get into the weeds on all these because we could write a significant amount of verbiage on each question, but, and then I'll get that sent out too. Not today, but hopefully.
Not tomorrow.
Probably early next week. And then you can respond next week, and then we'll get it to Jason by mid-July is what he had asked for. So I think we're in line pretty well with being able to at least share with him our thoughts.
The end of July is their next meeting of the governance group, right?
Yeah, the full group. I unfortunately will not be able to attend that.
And then he's supposed to be back here because we're having a CERCWIC meeting at the tail end of the month.
Yeah, he's going to be here, what, the 30th of July, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a CERCWIC meeting that rescheduled that day or that week for him to also attend.
So he's going to hit CERCWIC and the big governance group.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Back-to-back days, basically.
Right.
Yep, that week we'll be at the same place we were.
We also made a monumental decision between the executive committee that we won't be charging dues this year in lieu of who knows which direction we're going and some other things.
Right.
And we have a balance, so.
Will there be another meeting of the, will he want to have another meeting of the all the subgroups together before that in July, you think? Or that earlier that week?
The technical financial, all for the question committee that we met with him when he was here.
Last week.
Yeah. There is another one of those meetings scheduled. Okay. And I forget what day, but it was mid-July.
I'm trying to remember.
Laura's wearing us out. We're holding all these dates, and then we're canceling.
She
all
canceled
these dates.
The whole
I can't
date.
Keep. I can't keep up with this.
Is it July 30th? I don't have anything other than that.
I don't have anything for the 21st.
Oh, is it?
No.
I don't have anything.
21st is Saturday.
The only thing I have is the 30th.
Yeah, and that's the governance group.
Yeah.
Partnership.
31st
is Survey.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all that's in there.
I thought we...
She just deleted some whole dates yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, three. Two or three of them.
Yeah.
Let me check with him. I thought we picked a time in the middle. Of the month for the subcommittees to meet.
There was something because he was talking about he could even call in if needed to be.
Yeah, he said he would be here. I'll have to check with him. I'll send that out and get it.
I was waiting for Dale to pop up and say he had it on his calendar.
He dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue light's not on anymore.
Thought we're done.
He's not on the phone anymore.
He's done with us. I'll send that out to the group so it'll differentiate from all the ones Laura's trying to coordinate after I talk to Jason. Thanks for hosting.
Yep.
Anything else?
Happy to do it again if need be.
You want that back under?
Yeah, we can put it on the shelf.
Yeah, I think the subcommittee meetings are done now, unless we decide to get back together one time before
we can go
Jason
back taking back. Vacations for the summer.